Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker right here in Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My hope is that you take away a few things from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is a friend and fellow real agent, Robbie Bro. Robbie is a top producer right here in Acadiana. Robbie is a team leader and has closed over 1,300 transactions personally in our small community. Welcome to the podcast, Robbie.
Oh, Jamie, thanks for having me, man. Excited to be here.
All right, brother. Happy to have you, man. I guess start with how you got into the real estate business so we can get a little backstory on how you got here.
I actually was working for Glazer's Wholesale and things didn't necessarily work out. I just like, man, let me just give this a shot, like on a whim and a prayer. Maybe we'll see if I can figure this out. I'd sold cars at, you know, it was Saturn used cars. It kind of shows the age right here because Saturn's not even around anymore. I never really enjoyed that because I always felt like I was going against my customers. Whereas with real estate, it's a little bit different. As a car salesman, you got to maintain profit. With real estate sales, if I get $10,000 off, $15,000 off, $5,000, $2,000, I got a happy client on the buy side. Or if I save that money on the list side, then everybody's happy. The right. Little bit of money that it costs you, it actually works its way out. So
yeah.
So jumped into that right after Katrina. Was really good timing, 2006. So I've been in the business for right at 18 years. There's a little bit of a Katrina hangover and it hit the ground running. 32 deals the first 8 months. And then it was 45, then it was 70, and then it ended up, you know, at one point I ended up getting to 95 without an assistant, and I was driving myself absolutely bananas.
Gotcha. Cool, man. Yeah, one little thing, too, I wanted to mention before we get started into a couple of other things is we used to play soccer against each other, actually, growing up.
I mean, I think we figured it out was like U14. That was good stuff, man. That was a nice little rivalry we had going on right there.
Yeah, we did, man. Lafayette's finest. That was back when we had like two rec teams, I think, man. And we were battling each other every week, man. And that was, I think we were always in the finals or whatever. And that was always a fun little rivalry, man. We had a lot of friends, similar friends from both teams.
So that
was fun, man. So little personal note on that. But talk to us a little bit about your day-to-day, because that's one thing, your consistency that you've been able to kind of keep front of mind, right? So tell us a little bit about your day-to-day, your schedule, how that works for you.
So I'm probably one of the most boring humans on the planet when it comes to some of that stuff. But, you know, I think one of the things that has helped me get to the spot where I have or achieve the number of sales that's happened is that I'm so boringly consistent and I do the same thing over and over and over again. So every morning starts off, I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm at CrossFit class at 5 o'clock every day, Monday to Friday. Saturdays, I sleep in and I'm there for, you know, 7:30, and which for a class, it starts at 8. But every single day I'm starting off with something to get my body moving and primed and ready to go. And real estate is, I think this has actually helped me quite a bit because real estate's hard, right? But nothing's harder than trying to find your very next breath whenever you're just absolutely dying in the middle of the workout and whatever. It doesn't necessarily have to be CrossFit. It could be running. It could be biking. It could be swimming. It doesn't matter. It could be lifting weights, whatever that happens to look like. But I think if you start your body moving first thing in the morning, number one, you've got your body moving, you're starting off on the right foot, you're getting a box checked of something positive that's happened. So that, I think that's, and number two, you also have, kids can't take 5 o'clock in the morning away from you.
Right.
And clients haven't taken 5 o'clock in the morning, although I have had a couple of them try.
Yeah.
Because they all know that I'm up that early.
Yeah. And my twins lately have been taking a little bit too much of my 5 a.m., but that's another story. But yeah, man. So that's awesome, dude. You've been able to show that you're definitely consistent with your workouts, but consistency in the workouts, they can tell, man, that guy is a guy I want to work with because he's consistent in the way he takes care of himself. So I know he's going to take care of me.
Yeah, non-verbally speaking, I think your first impression when people meet you face to face, if you look in the mirror, for me, my philosophy has always been like, if I'm meeting somebody, I can tell that this person's committed because they're definitely putting in the work, at least on themselves. And, you know, no matter how much money anybody makes, you have to put in the work to take care of your body. There's no money, there's no magic pill, there's no nothing. Work works. And all of that translates in, that translates in both into your physical well-being as well as to your real estate side of your career.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and other people have kind of mentioned that too on the podcast, is how they take care of themselves is definitely how they can take care of their clients. So you have to start by taking care of yourself, and then you can actually take care of somebody. But you can't take care of somebody if you don't take care of your own self first, right?
Amen.
So talk to us a little bit about how you're reaching your people, your client base, because I know you do a lot of referral-based business, or almost all exclusively referral-based business.
It's, for the most part, it's repeat referrals. So what's been really nice, and being in this business as long as I have, I'd say probably starting 4 or 5 years in, you'd start to get some of your clientele kind of turnover, meaning they're in their first time home buyer house, which was what I sold a ton of at the very beginning. They're in the middle of the move up. So you got a list and you got a sale, but you know, in order for that to happen, you got to stay in touch with them and find a reason to be able to, you know, find a reason to be able to call them without it seeming like commission breath, right? Like, oh man, here comes Robbie again. He's talking about, he wants a sale. So that's that, you need to figure out a way to not have that happen. So
give us an example of that. Yeah.
Getting to it. So one of the things that I would, implement, I'd always kind of throw in some little giveaways from way back when, whether it was a small gift card for Starbucks, or, you know, now my favorite spot's Jet, something like that, to be able to give some of those things out. It was a reason to be able to reach out. So sometimes it would be for, lately it's been for like Google reviews. I'll do a little gift card to Jet for Google reviews, a cup of coffee on me just for, you know, helping out. But you would reach out for, you know, had, did you get the thing about the thing? So if you give something of value, now you can call and ask, hey, did you get that such and such, you know, whether it was via mail, via email, and then you could call them, you can actually touch base with them. So, and believe it or not, the last thing I actually talk about whenever I'm calling past clients is real estate. You know, I make an effort to, you know what's going on with them personally, because what ends up happening, the relationship forms, it's a friendship. Yes, there's some business that's attached to that, but to me, if the relationship is the foundation of everything that goes on with the client, so the relationship's there, the money follows. You treat people the right way, the money follows. So I never have to worry about anything, because I'm always treating them as a friend. You're always looking out for their that best interest. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but it just happens. So there's no like closing line every time I'm trying to go and show a house. Right. People either want it or they don't. I've sold 1,300 houses. I've never, quote, in my air quotes, I know you can't see it on podcast here, right, but I've never sold anybody anything, because people are going to buy what they're going to want to buy. Now, I've been really good at being able to pick up on buying signals. And one of the ways to be able to pick up things that are going on inside people's heads, everybody's eyes kind of light up, but I'm not trying to go for the close. I'm going to pull information out of your head that you're probably already thinking, but I'm going to just ask you those questions like, hey, you know, if they like a particular house, hey, how do you like the backyard? How do you like the living room? How does the flow work for you? Does this work? Have you seen such and such, which could be a negative about the house? Does that bother you? I'm not always going to pull for the positive. I'm looking for the negative things too, because I need them to check in to let them know that I'm still looking out for that. Because if they told me they don't like a particular house because the yard was too small and this one looks like it's similar size, I'm going to ask them like, hey, number one, it also says that he's paying attention. And number two is, you know, it's not necessarily for, if I'm paying attention, that also means as a client, I said something and he's checking in to make sure, but maybe there's some other things that are out there, but I'm just pulling that information out of there. Because what's happening is, more than likely, they've got all these thoughts that are swirling around in their head, you know, kind of like a little firing synapses, so to speak. And I'm just trying to pull it out. So they, once you speak it, now it becomes real.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I get that for sure. And then also too, as you're hearing these questions that they're answering, you're getting a better vibe of what they're truly looking for. So that also then helps you to sell more houses, because you're more in tune to what they're looking for.
Well, yeah. It's, if you're trying to figure out what they're thinking, you can't do that without asking questions. I tell them all the time. I'm like, look, I may ask you the same thing 3 or 4 times. Forgive me. I'm a guy. You know, I can't remember all these things, and I just need that. I joke about it, but I need that. I need that repetitiveness so I can make sure that it ingrains in me. But you know, subliminally, I think it actually also works with that buyer and or seller to help them solve that problem.
Yeah. That's one thing I do in my business too, is I ask a lot of questions, and especially even in listing appointments too. You know, I know you take a lot of listings, but even in listing appointments, it's very important to ask those questions of why they're selling.
Why are we here?
Yeah. Why are we here? Why are they selling?
Why did you call me?
What do you like about your house? You know, like those
kind of problems did you put me here to solve?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think too often real estate agents, you know, when we're acting like the doctor, we're giving the prescription before we've asked for the symptoms.
Wow. I like that, actually. Yeah,
that's so really cool. If you ask, there's a reason that we got here. What was the pain points? Because, you know, they're going to tell you why we're in the scenario that we're in, whether they're buying a place or they're selling a place. There's something that's going on. But going and digging, always digging a little bit deeper and asking, you know, tell me more about that. I'm curious. So, I mean, those are simple little questions, but you know, one of my favorite questions is not really a question at all. When they speak and I know there's more, I just say, or I give them like a little face, like a curious looking face. And it just, the silence in the air will actually pull a little bit more information out of, you know, out of the seller or the buyer for whatever that happens. You know, of course, timing for some of these questions are, you know, it's got to be appropriate for it, but they'll give you the answer. There's the old saying, a God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. We got to listen twice as much as we speak.
Yeah, dude. I like that. I know a lot of agents like to text or email. Getting face to face with people. I know you told me that before, is like, that's your jam, is just getting in front of people face to face with them, eyeball to eyeball with them. And it things can get mistranslated over text or over email, but like that kind of stuff happens in conversation and in person.
You know, my question to a lot of people is, how many times have you gotten an argument with your significant other over a text message and you read the word okay or fine in a different manner than what was intended?
Yeah.
All the time, right? So text message is absolutely last worst case scenario for me. I would much prefer a phone call if at all possible, because you can sort through all those feelings, because people read text messages in the mood that they're in. So if they got cut off in traffic 3 seconds before you sent the text, they're in a bad mood. They're reading yours in a bad mood. You had nothing to do with it. There's a study that runs out that 94% of the communication that happens has nothing to do with the actual words that were said. It was what you said, how you said it, and the tonality that was attached to it. So if you're using text message, only 6% of the message is the words that are being used. So most of the, we work in such a chaotic industry where everything's always a problem all the time. Why would we send a message to be able to answer problems in a way that could be misconstrued for people to get even more upset than what's going on?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you probably don't send a ton of texts for your clients. You'd rather be on the phone with them.
So obviously I can't be in front of all these people at one time, but what I have figured out is that BombBomb, for those that are not using it, has been an absolute lifesaver for me. And I've actually used it to be able to grab hours back in my day. So if there's a problem file, or if I'm doing a seller report, or if I'm doing a market update for an individual listing, I will send a BombBomb over to that particular client, and we'll talk about whatever issue happens to be. So what's also interesting is that when you send these, it's a one-way, it's a unilateral source of communication. So a lot of times when you get with some people, they're waiting for their turn to talk instead of consuming the information that's coming through. Well, I'm pretty repetitive. I'm pretty robotic when it comes to, you know, whether it's going through the offer or going through a listing agreement. I've got a process. So whenever you interrupt it, I'm going to answer that question. I just may not answer it in the time that you're set up. But if I send the BombBomb, everything has to be, you know, if they're going to catch the whole message, if they watch the entire video, which, by the way, you can get stats to see how much of the video, which is fun to be able to call people out, but that's the side conversation for another time. Like, oh yeah, I actually went over that in the second half of the video that you didn't watch. Yes, I did. I did. tell you that.
Yeah. Dude, that's freaking hilarious. Yeah, but, man.
You know, you can tell people too. Let's say, listen, you know, one of the great things about video is that you can hold my feet to the fire. Yeah. Like, hey, Robbie, you sold me such and such. I'm like, okay, I'll go back and listen. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're not. But in real estate, I say the same thing so many times. Chances are, probably didn't. But, you know, it's good for the client so they can go back and rewatch it so I don't have to re-explain it or verify that what I told them is what I really told them.
Yeah. No, I like that too. Because, I mean, look, and that's why a lot of times when I'm with the transaction coordinators and stuff like that, I'm like, put it in the email. So, you know, here's your dates that you have. Here's your mm-hmm. expiration of your inspection period. Here's your, you know, the day you have to apply for your loan, and here's everything. Here's your closing date. So that at 10 o'clock at night, when they're sitting up thinking about the process or they're struggling with it, right, that then go back and watch that video, that bomb that you sent them that explains why you're doing things the way you're doing it or the process of something about the transaction.
Right.
So I really love that.
Works well too. So if you're working with spouses on a contract, if you send it over to them at the same time, if a lot of times one of them's stuck at work and the other one can't get to it, or somebody's at a kid function and it's super loud and you just can't get them both on the phone at the same time, you say the same thing to the same people. They can watch it just as many times as they want, and they can watch it on their time when they're comfortable. A lot of times, if they've got kids running around and throwing stuff all over the place in the middle of supper, yeah, they're not in a position to be able to actually consume the knowledge that we're taking in. Whenever they put the kids to bed, which is hopefully when I'm at bed, you know, I don't get those phone calls. So it's helped out. You know, it grabs some extra hours and it actually eliminates some of the extra calls that have popped up.
I had a lender one time that he used BombBomb and I loved it, man. Through the whole process, he'd just video himself. He'd just be like, just for example, like one thing I really liked that he did is he would just video himself. He'd be like, hey man, I'm standing outside of your closing attorney's office, right? And he would video himself like walking into the door of the closing attorney's office. Like, look, come up to the fourth floor. Here it is. It's in River Ranch right here. And it was just cool because it's like mm-hmm. buyers or sellers have a lot of things that they don't know. And the unknown is another stress that they have, right?
Right.
So seeing that video of, oh man, cool. It's right here. It's at the corner of Camellia and wherever. And man, I could just, now I know where I'm going and I'm not like searching the parking lot and I'm stressed out about the closing already that I'm going to. And now I'm stressed out about like where I'm going and how do right. I get there and all that stuff too, man. So I thought that was really cool, man. And actually I saw him at a realtor function, man. I was like, dude, I love the BombBomb videos. That was such a cool thing. So I'm glad you're using that. That's awesome.
So here's actually a benefit that popped up to BombBomb that I wasn't expecting. So I'm also pretty known around town for doing a whole bunch of Facebook lives and doing a lot of video. And whenever you're doing a video, if I'm doing a video on BombBomb, it's really the same thing as talking into the computer monitor. If I'm doing a Facebook live or if I'm practicing on a video to be able to send over to a client, and that repetitive behavior pattern, so to speak, is ingraining into your head. That is just another thing. I remember doing my first Facebook live market update, and I'm pretty sure in 8 minutes I took maybe a breath and a half total.
Yeah.
You know, super yeah. And my very first Facebook live, it's probably still up there. You could probably actually catch that amazing exhale because I thought the live had stopped. But you know, one of the things that's helped, it's kind of programmed my brain to be able to go on Facebook Live, to be able to do some of these extra videos, to be able to give content out to the consumer that's set up. It's just made video so much easier for me because, man, I'm like everybody else. You know, I know people see me on video all the time, but I was terrified yeah. of getting in front of the camera. Like I just froze up. I could talk to a wall if the wall would talk back, and I've been able to do that for years. But you put that little, you know, that little lens eyeball at you, and I just
shut down. Yeah. And what I like too about Facebook Live is it's something that just gets sent out. It's not like something you got to record and then you got to go back and like edit it or make sure the lighting's right or put the captions or whatever. Facebook Live is like, boom, it's there, it's done,
it's raw, on. It's real.
Yeah, and it's on.
You know. And I think people actually can appreciate, you know, if I mess up, I mess up. It's whatever. We still keep, you know, we keep moving.
Yeah. No, I love that you do
that.
Which
makes you authentic.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. And people aren't. And that's the beauty of it. People aren't looking for perfection. They're just looking for consistency, authenticity. You know, they're looking mm-hmm. for a couple things. But being perfect on video is not one, because if not, then they'd be looking for the girl who's at KATC or the local news right. channel, right, to sell real estate.
Right. So another thing, you know, one of the things I get people talking about, like, oh, man, I could never do Facebook Live. And I'm like, why? Well, I think a lot of people, number one, hate the sound of their voice, which, hello, my name is Robbie. Can't stand it. But you got to get over it. Number two, they hate the way they look on camera, which is also funny because either A, everybody's seen this big old nose for the, my whole life there. I can't run away from it. It's just what it is. But women in particular, they'll run out to the grocery store without makeup all the time. And they're used to going in public, and that's okay. But if you put it on video, they're like, oh my God, I can't do that.
Right.
It's kind of funny how that works out. But I mean, it's literally the same thing.
Right.
Same thing. So I think a lot of it is fear-based, but the resolution to that or the solution to that, send some video emails. You can do it for lots of stuff. You can do it for happy birthdays. You could do it for congratulations. You could do it for I'm just thinking about you. You can do lots of touches like that. And people can consume those touches when they're ready to consume them, not interrupting their day if they're in the middle of a meeting or dealing with kids or whatever that happens to be.
I do like that a lot, man. That has me really thinking, because you could call somebody and it's just a terrible time for them, or they're at work or whatever. But this is a great way that you can reach people, get them the message that you need to get them. They're seeing your face. They're seeing your consistency. But they can consume the content at the time that makes sense to them. And that could be midnight.
Yeah, very well could be.
You know, so we don't even know what that looks like and what they're going through. But,
well, I mean, if you think about it, most of the time, when are people relaxing? Probably the same time that we are as agents, right? Homework's done. Kids are finally fed and bathed, or at least you get a little bit of chaos that you remove some of the chaos of your daily life. You know, it may be different an hour to hour, but
yeah, they're probably, and it'd be interesting to see when does BombBomb let you see when they're yes. watching it.
Yes.
So that's interesting to see. Maybe go back and look and say, like, when are people actually watching mm-hmm. this thing? Because you might have some that are 9:30 at night.
You can set up notifications to be able to go and send stuff over to you, or you can just go into the dashboard and the back end of it.
Sweet, dude. I like that. Because, man, if you're seeing people like consuming the content at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, like, you're not calling them at that time anyway. So
yeah, my phone don't work that late. I've turned notifications and I've silenced my phone at 7 o'clock, probably, and actually six before that. Unless your house is on fire, you don't need to be calling me anyway. And the contract's going to wait till tomorrow. There's nothing that's that important that I can't deal with at 7 o'clock in the morning the next morning.
Right.
Nothing.
Absolutely. One thing that you do too, because I want to talk about this, is you do a lifestyle show, and you've been doing this for a long time, right? So tell us a little bit what that is and what
so
that's all about.
Lafayette Lifestyle was, you know, everybody loves food, right? So, and not everybody's in the middle of buying a house. I wish they were, but they're not. So they're not taking on the content of look at my new listing, check out my open house. Yes, I did a closing. That's agent focused. And, you know, it's important that those things come out, but it's nothing that brings value over to the consumer. To me, I think it's more of a look at me thing than it is something, you know, whenever I go online and I try to post some things when it comes to consumer based posts for social media, I want the message to have something of value, whether I'm broadcasting it out to agents or broadcasting it out to the general public for buying and selling. So, you know, with that said, everybody likes to eat. So we go and interview. I've interviewed everything from restaurants to pet shelters to we did something borrowed blooms. You know, use flour for weddings. We've done, you know, I've had political, you know, local politicians in town from, you know, Jan Richard at Scott. I mean, I've done almost a couple hundred episodes now. So it's been about 5 years. But when people take that content in, you know, if they see me when I'm bringing out some real estate things, they're like, oh man, he recommended this pizza place, this seafood place, this Cajun restaurant, you know, oh, let me see what he's doing with the, you know, with the real estate stuff too. So there was trust that was built and a brand that was built just to be able to, they're noticing the same person, but oh yeah, he does this too. So when they are ready, hopefully it gives me the opportunity to be able to at least start a conversation.
Yeah, dude.
But
I like
you do
that.
It without thinking, you know, I'm giving this value out without necessarily looking for anything in return. It's the Gary Vaynerchuk's jab, jab, uppercut philosophy. Give, 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 call to action. So,
gotcha. Yeah, I've also heard it called like the blue ocean where you reach in the whatever percent of people aren't going to buy. Yeah,
red ocean, blue ocean's another one.
But yeah, man, one thing I want to touch on, because we're getting a little bit close on time, is I want to touch on why you made the move to Real. Because you're with us here at Real, and you were really doing well at your last company. And you can say what company you left.
No, actually, I was with eXp for 6 years. It was a great place. I've picked up tons of valuable lessons over there over the years, and had really, it just boiled down to opportunity from some of the benefits that were at eXp. It was almost like I did a little bit of a rewind from when I started eXp. So, you know, I was a 6-time icon agent, which is pretty much, it's basically the same thing as what the Real elite agent is. But the biggest thing for me was, you know, I sell enough homes to be able to hit that icon agent status. With Real, I also sell enough homes to be able to make that the same version of icon, so elite agent status. But the share price, the number of shares I was able to grab whenever I'd hit those rewards, were exponentially more shares just based off of the share price. So when I left Real, we were at 13, anywhere from 12 to 14 bucks a share. I don't remember exactly what it was when I started. When I left eXp, I was at 12 to 14 a share for eXp, and that turned out to about 800 to 900 shares with the Icon agent. So with Icon, you hit their sales goal, you get $8,000 in stock, you'd get another $4,000 for participating into the community, you know, giving back to the community, something that I, you know, teaching back to be, something that I've always really enjoyed doing for, you know, agents, because I've always believed in sending the elevator back down to help build people up.
Nice.
Then you got $2,000 each to go to ExpCon and the shareholders price. And at the time, it ended up being between travel and the ticket and the plane and all that, it was about a wash. It was about $12,000 worth of stock that I would be able to get. That worked out to about 800 to 900 shares. Today, at Real, we've got the ability to basically double the amount. So instead of $12,000, I'd be able to get up to $24,000 in shares. And today's, we're at $550, I guess. It ended up being about $4,400, somewhere around there. So the total number of shares at some point, you know, right now, we're in the end of 2024. Wall Street's not necessarily in love with the real estate industry, you know, in general, with between the NAR settlement. A lot of these stocks, to me, you know, I'm not a financial advisor or expert or any. I'm just a dumb realtor. But my guess would be that, you know, my best guess would be at some point these stocks will all work their way back up. So I can get the same amount of stock. I can get almost five times more stock at the current share price compared to the other share price. You know, it's a lot of this is going to be kind of timing related, but it was an opportunity for me to be able to get up to five times more stock doing the exact same thing that I was doing before. Being able to build up that stock, if I could go from $5 a share to $20 a share, then life looks pretty darn good. That's money that I would not have had. So all I have to do is sell enough houses. So being able to get those extra shares was something I just couldn't pass up.
Yeah, dude, the opportunity. Yeah, kind of ride the wave up with Real. You know, I kind of talk about that too. Is it's very similar companies. They're both cloud-based, but just having the opportunity to kind of ride the wave up with a great company is awesome.
They've been awesome. And look, had Real not been here, I'd probably still be at eXp, because I thoroughly enjoyed the opportunity and I'm very appreciative and grateful for the opportunity that they have. This is just a timing thing that worked out for me. I think both sets of leadership are incredible. I learned a ton of things from both companies. There's nothing, you know, it's like 1A, 1B type of deal. So, you know, I want to see eXp succeed. Obviously, I want to see Real succeed. I think they're, you know, and I think both of them will. I just think the future looks a little bit brighter for me personally, for my story, moving on with Real.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, let's let you share one more positive, encouraging thing, man, to realtors who may be struggling in our market. We always talk about this. We want them to grab a lot of value from the agents that we have on the podcast. But tell us one more thing. If I'm a new agent or I'm an agent who's struggling, tell us what you might have for them, and then we'll close it out.
So the one thing that we cannot control is the number of closings that we have, but I can control how many times I pick up the phone. And look, even this year I've had probably $10 to $12 million worth of production get flushed down the toilet. It's been a tough, tough year. It's very easy to get in my feelings with some of the things that have gone wrong. I mean, there's been some big ones, like some $1.7 million dual agencies that have fallen apart that would have been very good for the family had some of these guys closed. And it's real easy to get real down in the dumps about some of that stuff. But the one thing that I can control is picking up the phone again and reaching out to somebody else and just touching base, connecting with people, because eventually the calls lead to contacts, the contacts lead to appointments, and the appointments lead to closings. And that's the one thing I can control. I can't control the interest rates. I cannot control the NAR settlement. I can't control the environment that's going around. I can't control the election, but I can control the number of people that I talk to. And only I am responsible for how diligent and how committed that I am to be able to make sure that I provide for my family.
Love it, dude. That's awesome, man. Yeah, dude. So definitely we're going to go ahead and leave it there, man, because that is huge advice from a top producer that's just killing it right now and has killed it since early on in your career, man. So I appreciate your friendship, dude. Love to see you leveling up your business and growing the way you've been able to grow. So appreciate you being on the podcast, brother.
Appreciate you, Jamie. Thank you, man.
All right, guys. Well, I hope that you guys have an amazing day.